soft skin. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for this day to serve you and praise you and give you all glory for what you've done for us, Lord. Pray you'll bless the service and take preeminence in everything we say and do. Have thine own way. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to 137. The power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you only more victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood.
And Jesus the Savior I adore. Truly so thankful, Lord, for the revelations that are in these songs as we sing, Father. May they truly be from the heart, oh God. No, Lord, not just singing out of habit, Lord, but the revelation pulsating and dwelling within us. Lord, bless us tonight as we've gathered around your word tonight, Lord. Just meet every need. Bless this offering. Lord, may it just be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. Lord, that you may glorify. Lord, just have your way. We ask in your precious name.
Amen. I sing, who am I?
Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know. Why he
down deep in our hearts. And we love the Lord Jesus Christ like we're supposed to. Oh God, who am I, Lord?
Yes.
I'm a nobody. And yet, Lord, you love each one of us, Father. You love your children, Father. And Lord, I pray, Father, those are sick and afflicted among us, Father, that you heal their bodies, Lord. And I pray, Father, tonight, Lord, Lord, you'll help each one of us do your perfect will. And I pray, Father, if there's any here, Lord, with help, Lord, I ask you'll help me, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, tonight, for Sister Gensel, Lord. Lord, give her strength for her body. Help her, Lord. For Lord, we can only come
He didn't have to hear me when I cried out to him. He could have turned his head and said, I will not hear. But instead, he reached his precious hand down to me, and by his grace then he took away my fear. Oh, it was grace, grace, God's love and grace. It wasn't anything that I could have done. So why shouldn't I love him? For he has given me life by his grace. When I look around at all the other people, I just bow my head and say, how can it be? Why did you choose me, Lord, when I was so unworthy? I know it's love, I know it's grace you've shown to me. Oh, it was grace, grace, God's love and grace. It wasn't anything that I could have done. So why shouldn't I love him? For he has given me life by his
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, how humbled we are this evening to just feel your Holy Spirit, Lord, and to know that you're ever mindful of your little elected. And Lord, how great an opportunity it is to come and together with saints of my precious faith, Lord, and to gather in around your word, Lord, and to draw strength and to draw the necessary food, Lord, that will provide the minerals that we need, Lord, to continue to grow and to become exactly what you would have us be. And Lord, we're ever thankful for every opportunity when we can come. And Lord, maybe sometimes we come, Lord, and the old sun's hot, Lord. It's harvest time. And Lord, we might come in and we might sit under that hot sun. But Lord, don't ever let us get tired of it. But Lord, let us be ever so thankful that sun is shining, Lord. Be ever so thankful, Lord, that there's something burning down on the inside to say amen,
yes, amen.
To every word. Amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for the desire that burns in our hearts. For without you, it wouldn't be there, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and just so appreciative for what you're doing for us, Lord, and for the desire just to see the challenge that burns in our hearts, Lord, to come subject to every word,
yes,
to see it lived and manifested, and made alive, Lord, that we would be a people that don't just talk about the life of Jesus Christ,
amen.
But Lord, it would be on display. Thank you, Lord, for everything. We just ask your blessings upon your word this evening. Lord, help it just strengthen wherever it needs to be. Lord, you know all about it.
Yes,
and we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor and the praise for everything. In our lovely, precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, he's so sweet.
Yes.
So precious. Amen.
Amen.
He's just so wonderful to think what he's done and doing. And oh my, to see yourself part of his great plan. To see that mercy and grace rewrote your life.
Amen.
To see where we stand tonight. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. While you're still standing, let's turn our Bibles over to John, the 10th chapter. Just a little subject for this evening. Praying that it'll help someone. So once again, when you find yourself in this place, that's when it's a blessing.
Amen.
And if you see that you don't have the things we're going to read about this evening, now's the time to get it. Amen.
Amen.
While God is still calling and he's still here to hear every prayer, amen. You got to reach out and touch him. Amen. Excuse me here. John 10th chapter. And amen. Let's start there about the 23rd verse. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As if I have said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Who's he? The Word. Amen. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. Amen. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. All my saints, when you look around at the age in which we're living and you see the repeat of this scripture taking place today, God sent a mouthpiece. He sent a prophet in this last day to declare the full counsel and to restore back all that was been lost, bring back a people to the fullness of the reality of what God was looking for. And oh my, many today still, they're struggling and they're wrestling and they're worried with the word. Oh, tell us plainly what Brother Branham meant. Tell us plainly, but it wasn't Brother Branham that was speaking. It was God that was speaking.
Amen.
But God had a chosen few, amen, that he saw in his mind before the foundation of the world. Not by their choosing, but by his mercy and his grace. He foreordained and saw them, placed them here at this time and season. That there would be somebody here, that this word would have full preeminence of their life.
Amen.
Everything about them be under control to him. Not their own actions, their own ideas and thoughts about things, but exactly what God wanted it to be. And you know, as many people begin to set out to serve God, and they think they're going to be a Christian. They think they're going to live this way, they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And you can see it throughout the land. Maybe they set out to be a Catholic, and that denomination has rules, just like any other. And maybe they think that's the way they need to serve God, but it'll never work. Any religion is the same. Any denomination, you can see it. People have set out with great ambitions to be the best they could be. And there was a true Baptist at one time. That down through the ages as those come up, the Lutheran, Wesley, and all of that, there was a genuine there that was holding to the word and for the allotted time for the hour, but they failed to move on. And it's the same way today. The true word has come, and it's the evening time. The fullness of God is here. And a people must move on with every word as it's come forth. Amen. And God predestinated a people that would be here, that they would say amen to that word. And their life would be changed and conformed. And the words that's written in these books and written on these pages would become alive and living in them. They wouldn't just no longer be something that was read off of a page. But it becomes a reality, a manifestation, made alive and living. Amen. Amen. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. But this people, as our pastor taught on a while back, they can't do that in their own. It's amazing grace, his redeeming love, wherewith he hath loved us. And I want you to listen as Peter's here in the first book of Peter, the first chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bethany, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. He's telling you that special elected few that he predestinated. Amen. This is to them, the elect. Amen. Yes. But then listen here in the fifth verse. He says, but who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Many temptations, all things just seem to be caving in, crushing, weight of the world driving against you. And then a human body can't endure sometimes. It can't. It can't take the strain. It'll break under certain strain. It loses its temper. It's just makeup. It just can't hold. But Jesus Christ said he had a people that would be conformed to the image of his own Son. And this word would become made alive and become a real and a reality in them. Till everything would hold. And that the trial of their faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. But oh my, what's it take? What the little fifth verse there, who are kept by the power of God. Amen. And I want you to think about that tonight as you just take a few places. And let's just jump back real quick to Luke, the fourth chapter. Very familiar scripture. But just listen here, here's Jesus now, the one that we're to be conformed to his image. Amen. Yes. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, fourth chapter of Luke, first verse, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And you just think about that, 40 days without food. The old natural body was hungry. And how just the aroma of something to eat would have just turned your stomach. You know how it is if you get really, really hungry, you ain't had nothing for a long time. Just the smell of food, the body's craving that. It's a natural appetite. And the human body might would have caved, but looks in as Jesus says here, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Look at the scriptures. Look at who? The Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter. When he shall come, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance.
Yes.
Whatsoever I have said unto you. As we face life's dark road sometimes, and life's tough, it can be rough and it can be hard. And the natural, we can endure the load that's maybe get placed on us. But Jesus Christ can endure all things. And if he's in the inside and on the control seat of the heart, he will bring this body under subjection in every circumstance. And Jesus Christ will be made manifest and lived out through it. Amen. You know, the load can never get too hard. Listen, as Jesus here, he says, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, to whosoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, and it shall all be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering him said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. But I want you to look how he held firm. Even though the body was, I'm sure, was weak from that many days of fasting, his mind was probably just, you know, that. Look what the devil gave him first. Something that he knew the natural body needed.
Yes.
Put that thought at, oh, food, food. The body's craving that, longing for something to sustain it. And look how Satan placed that there first and then began to work on him, trying to distract him, pull his attention. But the word held true. Stayed right there, and all the word came right back to remembrance, and right out it was spoken, right down the line. And you know, I'm reminded here in Acts, the 16th chapter. Amen. Let's just read a few examples of this Holy Spirit, God working.
Yes.
And you know, and this was in trials and tribulations, things that life was pressing on them, taking toll on them. Many things weren't going the way that it needed to go. And speaking of Paul here, and how you can go back through the book of Acts and see how many times they'd already been beaten, how many times they'd already been stoned, all the things that had happened to them. But here in the 25th verse, very familiar, it's talking about where Paul and Silas got thrown into jail. And he says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them." And I want you to think of that too. In the natural, the body's aching, bleeding from stripes that was laid on their back. Their flesh was cut with the whips. And an old cold jail, water seeping in, nothing like we have today. And look at all the burden that was probably placed on them. Oh, we were supposed to help this brother do that. We were supposed to go do this. Oh, we was going to have a meeting over here. We was going to preach. And look at all of this that had happened. And here they are now confined. But yet down inside of them, they weren't looking upon their natural state. There was something down inside that was greater than the natural body. Something that had control of their mind greater than just the natural person. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm stuck here. Oh, what about this and what about that? No, there was something greater. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And there again, the natural person would have been, the doors are open, let's run. Get out of here, run over that jailer, knock him down. But there's something greater in him that had control of them. It had their mind, their body, their spirit was under subjection to something greater than the natural urges of life. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and sprang forth, trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out, and said, Sir, what must I do to be saved? He saw something. He began to see a reality. So he knew what they'd been accused of and thrown into that prison when he was given charge to watch over them. But he saw something in them shining forth that wasn't man-made. It wasn't their own personality, but he saw Jesus Christ. The life lived out through them. Oh my, to hear them praying and singing in the Spirit. true worship coming from the bottom of their heart. Oh my, what a service it must have been. Amen. Oh my. But, you know, we oftentimes are faced with a lot of situations in life, and it oftentimes the burden gets heavy. But you know, all the examples we've ever been given, and I didn't bring it with me, but I was thinking of the little lady. Brother Branham talked about how her husband was a drunk and come home and to prove to his fellows that she was a Christian. And all that she had to go through there. But she never opened her mouth, just kept sweeping and singing that little chorus, "Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone?" I want you to look at that, how that life that was springing forth from her was an example to those other men. Was that something she could do in herself? Was that something that... No, it took Jesus Christ on the inside to bring that fleshly body, that mind under subjection to the Word, to keep that mouth shut, to not speak back, but to just be humble and contrite, and whatever needed to be done, she stayed right there in her place. But Jesus Christ was glorified and magnified through that situation. And how many people down through their lives, but it's not something you can manufacture in yourself. You can try to be a Christian all you want, but somewhere it'll fail. You can try to live this life the best you can, and somewhere it'll fall apart. You can try to go so long on, I know intellectual understanding, but somewhere it's got to come down to a revelation that's burning and anchored in your heart and soul, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is on the control seat of your heart.
Amen.
You know, this is a very familiar little scripture or quote, but this is in the Message Pardon. Brother Branham preached 10:28-63, a little story. But as he says here on paragraph 93, he says, "As I was a young man yesterday, a little interview, I said I used to pass by a little spring when I was a game warden in Indiana." And I want you to listen. I know we've read it many times, but just let it become just more than a story. And you can see a reality in it. Amen.
Yes, amen.
He says, "I always was the happiest spring I ever seen in my life. Great springs in Indiana. They bubble up with that fine cold water of limestone water. And one day I sat down by the spring to talk to it, like I guess Moses would have sat to the burning bush to speak with it. And I said, 'Little spring, what makes you so happy that you're bubbling all the time? If I come here in the winter time, you're bubbling. If I come spring, autumn, summer, whenever it is, you're bubbling. Is it because perhaps you're so happy that the rabbits come and drink out of you?'" And I want you to just think of that as a spring. Just think of the four seasons there. Spring, there's a lot of rain. It's muddy. It's running down through there. Poor little brook just getting overrun. In the summertime, it's all getting dried up and around except that little artesian well that's springing up there. Everything else may have done and dried up, most of the creeks, but that little spring was still bubbling. The wintertime, everything's frozen and cold, and just all around it probably was just ice and just dreary and drab. But that little spring still bubbled itself up through that ice. It didn't matter what situation, that little spring was still bubbling. Nothing could hold it back. It was but just a bubbling little spring.
Yes, amen.
He says, is it because the rabbits come and drink out of you? He said, if I could talk, he'd say, no, that's not it. And I'd say, well, maybe it's because the deers come by and drink out of you. And he'd say, no, that's not it. And I'd say, maybe it's because I come by once in a while and drink from you. And he said, no, that's not it. I'm glad they all come and drink. But that's not the reason I'm bubbling all the time. Well, what makes you bubble like that? What makes you so happy, always gushing up? And if he could talk, he'd say, it's not me. It's something behind me, pushing me.
Hallelujah.
Oh my, just think about it.
Hallelujah.
A power of God, kept by the power of God.
Yeah.
And I want you to look at today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what life's going to bring at any of us.
Amen.
But yet I know, if I know the one who holds the future and the one that knows the future is living within me, he's going to bubble and push out through every circumstance of life. He's going to push out through this body. This body might become crippled, might be set down in a wheelchair, whatever might happen to this body. But if God is on the inside, it'll be made manifest out through this body that he's in there.
Amen.
Oh my. He says, if he could talk, it's something behind me pushing me. And that is the way it is with a Christian experience. It isn't something you're trying to work up. It's something behind working in you. It's eternal life that's moving up, gushing up, like he told the woman at the well. It'll be wells of water springing up into eternal life. It's something within the worshiper when he's been identified with Christ, because he knows that he is alive. But we don't want to make it become a tradition. and how we want to see this life coming from the inside, not something I'm trying to work myself up to have. Something I believe, oh, I go to church and I wear dresses and I don't cut my hair and I do this, and as a man I do everything that I know I'm supposed to do. But is there a reality to the word that's bubbling up from the inside every day?
Amen.
That it's amen to Jesus Christ, amen to whatever comes my way. Burdens may be heavy, trials may be hot and heavy. Life's pressing in. Friends on this side looking at you saying you're wrong for believing the way you believe. This one over here says they're fanatic. But yet there's got to be something done on the inside of each individual. You can't go on a church religion. You can't go on a pastor's religion. You've got to go on what Jesus Christ will reveal and push out through you. Amen. And it's got to be a bubbling and a burning down inside of you. But oh my, a strength that's on the inside that endures through every circumstance of life. Amen. There's many situations that many in here has faced in their life. Older ones have, you know, we don't know every single circumstance everyone in here has went through. But many of you, the older ones in here, have faced some of these situations, and God was made manifest in their life. They was there. There was something that held them through those times and pushed forth.
Amen.
And today, us younger ones are coming up. It's our turn to make sure that it might be, who knows what God will have to do. Maybe tomorrow something happens to me, something happens to you. But Jesus Christ will be there to prove that he is in control. There won't be fretting and worrying and no peace, but there will be a joy. Oh my, to miss that trial to go through. Amen. But oh my, on ourselves, if we try to walk this road on our own and try to make our own path, and you can try to bluff Satan so long, but when he comes to truly put the weight on you, if Jesus Christ ain't the one holding your hand, it'll never hold up. Amen. Here in the message, the absolute. Use Brother Branham as an example here now. As he tells this, this is in, our pastor read this not too very long ago on page 28 of An Absolute, preached January 27th, 1963. And he was talking about his situation where his wife died and his babies had died. And he said, and I was crying and praying. I thought, well, I was still holding on to God. And I was going up that road crying, and I thought I'd go up and listen. I used to sit up there on an evening by the grave, and I'd hear an old dove come down there and go to singing and hear the pines blow and the winds through the pines, rather. And sound like they would say, there's a land beyond the river they call the sweet forever, and we'll only reach that shore by face degree. And one by one we'll gain that portal there to dwell with the immortal someday when they ring those golden bells for you and me. And I'd stand there and cry and look up. And oh my, what a tough human situation here in his life. And the natural, almost more than any human could bear, to be honest. To see the situation and to know how here he was preaching, the awe and all he had seen God do on top of that. And to be a man stand there and see all this, the burden of this on him. And then to see people, I'm sure there was people talking. The old tongues were probably a wagon. All behind his back, and to know what all was taking place. And he said, you know, I would say to the wife and baby, I'd say, you know, you're not laying there. This is just where I planted the remains that I held in my arms, but somewhere beyond the river you're there. So see, and I was going up to that place one day to set up at the grave and had on a pair of boots walking along, and an old car come up behind me and it stopped. And it was Mr. Eisler, the state senator, and he jumped out of the car, pulled around and come back, put his arms around me, and he said, Billy, I sure feel sorry. And I said, that's all right, Brother Eisler. He said, I oughtn't have stopped. He seen I was weeping. I said, that's all right, mister. And he said, I'm going to ask you something, son. I said, go ahead and ask me. He said, I've seen you stand there in the pulpit till I thought you would die. And I've seen you fast till you'd be so peaked I'd feel sorry for you. And said, in and out, day and night, he said. And then your wife and baby in there and see you look at them things. He said, what does Christ mean to you now? And I said, thou stream of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom I have on earth besides thee, or whom in heaven but thee. See, I had found the absolute, something that held me when the storm was on. Someone said to me, Billy, did you keep your religion during the time of your trouble? And I said, no, it kept me. Where sometimes, I don't understand it, sometimes, I'm sorry, let me back up. He says, no, it kept me. That's what it was. I was tied to him in the hours when my strength was gone. There's nothing I could do. My anchor held within the veil of his word yonder. Where sometimes I don't understand it. Sometimes I think what makes me do the things that I do. There is something within inside me pulsating. I can't keep from doing it, brother. He says, I come to Phoenix the other day with a determination. I'd never strike out again. Or the first thing you know, a vision struck me before the first night. And I see myself turn towards the desert. Something turned me around. Show me a great big old church. Say, stay there for you. Go there. Oh my, there it is. Something I can't keep from doing. It's an absolute that's on the inside of me. And it's more than life. To me, yes, I can no more change than I could change the colors of my eyes. I couldn't do it. And I want you to look at that. He didn't hold his religion. But the religion that he had held him because it was seated and rooted and grounded on the inside. And that's what it's going to take in this last age. Is we're coming down the home stretch and life is buffering in. Satan's throwing all he can at each and every one. Trying to divert, distract, take away, to pull our attention from the goal for which we've been sent. Situations will arise on this hand, situations on that hand. False doctrines here, people coming against you, trying to tell you you're wrong. But there's got to be something down on the inside. It's got to be rooted and it's got to be grounded and it's got to be a real revelation, for it only comes from God. And he said upon that rock he would build his church and the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. But we got to make sure that he is in there on the control seat. That the life that he said would project forth through all these tests and trials we go through is being projected out through us. Amen. And that's why that sun is shining hot now. That's why the word comes to show us where we got to scrub up. That's what it's doing. It's perfecting that little bride. The word is not a church, not a man, but the word of God is perfecting and honing down a little bride, getting her ready for that final catching away. Amen. And by God's grace, if you can see that God is shining that light into your heart, the word is searching your life, searching your heart out to make sure you're right and lined up with God and all the greenness is taken out. Oh my, how thankful we ought to be. Amen. Just like they sang the song, he didn't have to hear me. Oh my, but by grace and mercy, he saw me and he's mine. Amen. When he sat there on the wayside and prayed, Lord, if this cup can pass, let it pass. But if not, thy will be done. Amen. More than a man could bear. Stripes on his back, carrying a cross, more than any human could handle. But Jesus Christ on the inside, the word, knowing the price that had to be paid for you and I to redeem us back. Oh my, the actions that had to take place. God never failed to make sure that the person that was there for that time and the hour had the strength they needed to endure. Amen. This is in the message, Why Christ Speak. And this was preached in July 14th, 1963. Paragraph 98. When Moses, he's going to speak about Moses just for a minute, but let me read it so we can catch what he's saying. When Moses saw that he was raised up for this purpose, he had met face to face this great God who had made the call and had anointed him and identified him. Amen. Oh my, can you remember? You felt the pull, you felt that call, and then come face to face with the Word who is God and to see, oh my, that it identified him. Amen. Amen. And he said, this is your call, Moses, I'm sending you, and I'm going to show you my glory, and here I am in a bush burning. Go down there, I'll be with you. He didn't even need a stick. He had the word, the vindicated word, and there he went. And it anointed the faith that was in him. And it anoints us when we see that we're living in the last days to find out that all these signs that we see been taking place that spoke of in the scriptures would take place in the last days. All the way from heaven to the political powers, the nature of the people, the demoralization of the world among the women and how they would do in the last days and how men would do, how churches would do and how nations would do. How God would do. And we see all of it laying right here on us. And oh my, more than ever. We see it everywhere. You can see the picture plain as day. How it's just caving in. Amen. He says, but oh, it anoints our faith. It moves us out in great cycles. See, it separates us from the things of the world. No matter how little we are, how much in minority we are, how much we're laughed at, made fun of, it don't make a bit of difference. That's all. We see it. There is something within us. Amen. We were predestinated to see this hour, and there is nothing going to stop us from seeing it. Amen. Here, God has spoken. It's already happened, and we see it. And oh, we thank God for this. And it brings your faith when you see these things happening here. And how it ought to anoint our faith. How it ought to spark in our hearts when we see all that's happening. But yet we can see this word come and see the results. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal bodies. When I can see my body coming subject to that word, I see the word come, and oh my, I may have to say, oh me. But by God's grace, you see that thing overcome, and you climb another rung on the ladder. Amen. Oh, how it ought to anoint something done on the inside that God is moving. how it ought to stir my heart to a personal revival in my own heart and life, to cry out and to worship Him, to praise Him, to just give our all to Him. Amen. For God is on within us. It's not you, but it's something within us. Amen. Oh my, how God is so great. Amen. Here in Romans, the 8th chapter, let's read this before we close. Amen. Amen. Troubles and trials, yeah, they got to come. Tests, oh, they've got to come. Amen. God's got to prove. He's going to prove that He can do exactly what He said He would do through a people's hearts and lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8, and let's just start there at the 28th verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. He didn't leave nothing unturned. He made sure it was right down the line. He took care of it all. Amen. What shall we then say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not within Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. By the power of God you are kept. Amen. Think about it. Amen. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things to come, nor things present, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. And how I thank God that many times maybe life has got rough. Maybe the obstacles have become great. And maybe many times something was come in the Word that you didn't quite understand. But yet there was something greater than you down on the inside just saying, amen. It's got to be right. Hang on. Stay there. Just wait. Be patient. Oh my God, taking control and making sure. Yes. But oh my, you can't live on someone else's revelation. You can't live on what you think is a religion. But it's got to be God, Jesus Christ, a true new birth. Amen. Baptism of the Holy Ghost living down in the heart. That's right. It'll change your body. It'll change your life. It will change the way you talk to people. It'll change the way you treat your husband, the way you treat your wife. It'll change the way you answer mom and dad, the way mom and dad answer you. It will bring everything subject to that word till it's a perfect harmony of Jesus Christ, the Spirit being one in unity and living out through a people. But oh my, it's got to be Him. Amen. And if He's in there, it don't matter what comes or goes, it'll hold through every storm. Amen. And it'll be to His glory and to His honor. And bear forth that He is alive today. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. Amen. Just a short, simple little text. But I pray it'll help us along the way. But we can draw strength. No matter what road we walk in life, God's already had an example that's walked that road before us. Amen. And here we are in this allotted time. And if God's called you to it, He'll take you through it. Amen. But don't ask Him to remove the rocks in the road, but Lord, help me to cross over them. Amen. Amen. That we would be shining forth. It builds character. Sometimes we suffer things. Yes. We go through things in life that to mold us and to shape us, to be a tool that God can use somewhere else. Yes. Amen. But God will get the glory from it all. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. As our brother comes, let's just sing that little chorus. Jesus got a hold of my life and He won't let me go. Amen. I'm so thankful that He is holding me. It's His mercy and His grace. that's even placed a desire to draw to be what he wants us to be.
Amen.
It's so easy. We see so many just take this and throw it away today. I'll live any way I want to live and claim to be this and claim to be that. But there's something about it that down inside it's got to be this.
Hallelujah.
We know it must be. And there's something greater than this natural body that says this is the way it's going to be. Amen. I'm so glad Jesus got a hold of my life. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. Well, Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my life and got into my soul. Well, I used to be oh so sad, but now I'm free and I'm glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got a hold of my life, got into my soul. Well, I used to be oh so sad, but now I'm free and I'm glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Amen. Don't you love him? Aren't you glad? Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Amen. Saints, when I look around and I see all this taking place in this old world, I'm so glad that there's something that's just, there's a peace in my heart, a joy in my heart. And I know, God, you know, there's things that I see that I still need to overcome. And I know, but by faith and grace of what he's done for me this far, he's going to take me the rest of the way. But oh, I'm so glad he set me free. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad. Set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm on my way to heaven and I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven and I'm shouting victory. Oh, yeah.
Think of just different steps down through life. I'm sure you've all had those steps in life. Or sometimes you wonder, why did I do this? Or how did this happen? Or how did I get into that? Or why is this happening? And times you just think, sometimes, why? You know, just period, why? But then God had a purpose in everything, you see. The footsteps of the righteous are. You know, sometimes we still go through many tests and trials. And your trial may not be the same as mine. See, it's everybody has a different way of having their tests and trials. But it's good to know that regardless what test it is, you've got one that's going to take you through. Amen. And that's the way I believe with all my heart. I don't care what it is. I know he'll take me through it. Amen. Do you know he'll take you through yours? He sure will. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. He promised that. I believe his promises.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for his precious promises. Thank God for the word tonight. Very Amen. Encouraging, strengthening, uplifting. Amen. Now may we press on.
Amen.
Not let anything stand in the way. Oh my, regardless. Be as Apostle Paul said, let nothing.
Amen.
Trials, tribulations, distress, peril, sword, famine, nakedness, or it may be. Don't let nothing turn you aside. Nothing. That's what I want in my life. Let nothing. Not even a something Satan can make over here to be a distraction. I don't care what it is. We always keep my eyes upon Jesus.
Amen.
In that precious word. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's been so wonderful and precious to be gathered in this little building tonight. I was thinking about today, Lord, of we're going to come and gather this evening, and as I was asking, Lord, just to bless us tonight and have your preeminence and whatever was said and done. And Lord, I was thinking of just what a blessing it is. Though it may be small, may not be a lot of people here, maybe not hundreds of people and thousands, whatever many places have. But Lord, I know this one thing, that you have always kept your promise, that where two or three are gathered in your name, in their midst you would be. And I appreciate that, Lord. I would rather have that than all the 10,000s and 50,000 and all the millions of people. Just to know, Lord, that you're here with us, I appreciate it. So thankful for the Word of God to be able to strike our hearts, as our brother said earlier. That, Lord, that it means something to us and it's a reality. Lord Jesus, I appreciate it. Appreciate the hot sun. Appreciate, Lord, what it means to me. How I see it conforming me, Lord. I'm so thankful. I just pray that you'll continue, Lord, to get us ready for rapture. And getting us ready for rapture, it's not easy for flesh. Flesh will always be against it. But, oh God, may the Holy Spirit within us be that power that'll take us through all the way. We pray now that we leave, as we leave this little building, that we'll keep you truly before us. Lord, that we would be in prayer, in consecration. We would be studying the Word of God and reading, Lord, and listening, whatever form or way we can get it. And Lord, may it be done by desire, not by just something that, well, I better do it because the preacher has mentioned it, that we should do it. But, oh God, may there be a hunger in our hearts burning. We can't wait to sit down and read the Word. Listen to it, and pray, and talk to you. Lord Jesus, you'll truly be in that reality, in that relationship with us. We appreciate it, Lord. Asking now that you would just bring us back again at the next appointed time. If you should tarry, be thy will, Lord. If we should live, oh God, we know that life is truly as a vapor. Lord, one day we're going to be able to gather on the other side. We won't have to part no more. It'll be a glorious day, Father, to spend eternal life with you. I appreciate you. May each one of us love you with all our hearts. If we don't, place it in our hearts, we pray, oh God. We ask in your precious name that these things be done now. For your honor and to your glory, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a lovely name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing it one more chorus before we leave. What a lovely, lovely name.
Amen.
The name of Jesus. Amen. Is it a lovely name to you?
Amen.
Oh, I trust that it is.
Amen.
What a lovely name. What a lovely, lovely name. The name of Jesus. What a name, what a love. one more time.
Oh, what a lovely, lovely name, the name of Jesus.
Of all salvation names.
What a lovely, lovely name, the name I love.
Oh,
what a lovely, lovely name, the name of Jesus. What a lovely, 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 lovely name.
What a lovely name. Amen. May God bless you this ministry.